All right, how's it going, everybody? All right, thanks for coming out. How was breakfast today? They have breakfast at the conference? Yeah? All right, cool. All right, this is Using Functional Exploratory and Acceptance Testing to Release with Confidence. I'm Benjamin Day. I'm based out of Brookline, Massachusetts. Anyone here from Massachusetts? Just a couple? Okay, cool. Welcome. I am a consultant, coach, trainer. I do a lot of stuff with Team Foundation Server. I'm obsessed with testing. I'm a Scrum guy. I teach a couple different Scrum courses. How many of you have heard of Scrum.org? Okay. 50%-ish. I have a couple classes up on, actually three classes up on Pluralsight, and I'm writing another one right now. www.benday.com. Benday at benday.com is my email address, and at Benday on Twitter. Feel free to heckle online as we go. All right, so as you may have noticed, the title for this talk is really too long, way too long. Using Functional Exploratory Acceptance and Testing to Release with Confidence. Considering that title means very little to me, I'm glad that you all came. Thank you. I think there really needs to be an alternate title, and what my version of this is going to be in my head is, how do you know you've tested your application? Okay? That's really what we care about in life. How many of you are QA testers? Okay. How many of you are developers? Okay. How many of you kind of do both? All right, cool. All right, so you know what it's about. It's about making sure that that stuff works so you can go off and deploy your application without, well, feeling terrified. But you've probably heard this term a lot. Kick it over the wall to QA. Probably not the best mindset to have, right? It kind of implies this us versus them between the developer side of the house and the testing side of the house, which, well, if you've got this us versus them, are you really thinking that you're on the same team anymore? You want to be on the same team. You want to bridge that divide so that there really isn't any difference between the developers and testers other than maybe what your activities are during a day. And that kick it over the wall to QA, I think of as the magical black box of software testing. It's that mindset that says, well, works on my box, I'm going to check it in, here you go. Not my problem anymore. It just sort of magically happens. So the way that actually works, you know, like step one, developers write an app of dubious quality. I'm sure the developers in this room, that your code is always awesome, just like my code is always awesome. But there are other people that are on your teams that are probably not here, and they suck, right? I know how it works. So step number two, throw said app into the magical box of QA. Step 3A, as a developer, you receive bugs. Step 3B, you get angry about those bugs, which is stupid, right? Because QA is trying to help you out. They didn't put the bugs in there. The developers put the bugs in there. They're just testing and finding where these defects are so that you can go and improve the application and move on. So 3A, receive bugs. 3B, get angry irrationally about the bugs. Step 4, go off and fix those bugs. Code, 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 code. Check it in. You're going to chuck that marginally less crappy app back at QA. Here you go. Whoomp, there it is. I just said whoomp, there it is. That's the first time I ever said whoomp, there it is on stage. Can you tell that I was a college child in the 90s? So you're going to chuck that marginally less crappy app back at QA. You get more bugs, and you're going to repeat that process until there are no more bugs, or until you hit the deadline date and you ship it anyway, right? So step number 8 is release the code into the wild where it is used by the actual users who will give you the actual bugs. Okay? That sound familiar as a way to work? All right. Ooh. But so why are you actually getting so many bugs that come back? Why do you have to go through that cycle again and again and again? And I think it's because on so many teams, QA is just kind of this afterthought. It's stuff that happens after the coders are done, and the coders are awesome, and QA just is like a, you know, ugh, whatever. Got to give them their time to bang on the app. And they don't really necessarily see the value. But a lot of times it kind of goes like this. So you have delays in dev. So if QA is not valued, then it kind of goes this way. You end up with delays in dev, which then sends this quality code off to magical QA. QA only has 4 minutes to test the app. We all know that that's really what the song was about, right? And then you as testers scramble to figure out a whole bunch of things. What needs to be tested? What's been tested? What works? And more importantly, what doesn't work? And then as you sent those bugs back and forth, were those bugs actually fixed? Now, that's kind of your core minimum mission in that magical world of QA. But what about all that exploratory testing you wanted to do? Right? Like, that's where the real value is. It's when you go off-road as a tester and you're like, man, I got my instincts that I can break this thing if I click here, and it explodes. That's exploratory testing. That's where the real value is. You, as a QA tester, get to use your instincts to figure out where the app is broken and break it in creative ways that maybe don't necessarily 100% align with the requirements, right? This is where we earn our keep. Then you get the question of, all right, well, we had all those user acceptance tests. Did those get done? Who cares? Did the users even look at the application before you shipped it? Whatever. Not our problem. QA just fixes it. It's all magic. So basically, you're trying to figure out, are we good to go? And at this point, I don't know about you, but I'm not feeling particularly confident that we're good to go because I've been rushed every second of my day as a tester. Testing was an afterthought. I don't know what's going on. I'm overwhelmed. And, well, you know that gettingthingsdone.com or whatever it is, like that mindset out there, it says, okay, well, one of the best ways to figure out or be productive in your life is to write down all the things that you don't, write down all the things you aren't supposed to forget. So you don't have to waste brain space and brain cycles trying to figure out to remember not to forget the things you're not supposed to forget. Okay? So in QA land, it oftentimes is like, oh, what did we actually do? Did that happen? Did that not happen? I don't remember. Go. Just ship it. And you're super stressed out. Not feeling confident. But the important thing is that it doesn't really have to be this way. Okay? When I teach testing topics, I will frequently point out, just as a reminder to teams, hey, QA people are people. It's right there in the name. The word people is right in QA people. They're a person. They're a human being. Treat them with respect. They're part of your team. And one of the things that we're going to want to try to do is to bridge that gap and make sure that we know what we're all doing. So in a typical build, test, release cycle that actually goes well, that's successful, you're going to have transparency, you're going to have traceability, and you're going to have team communication. These three things are really important for making... Oh, and my girlfriend is sending me good luck things. Thanks, Flavia. Yeah. Girlfriend. All right. So when it works, it's going to look like this. That's actually pretty awesome. That'll be on the video. I got to show it to her later on. Hi, honey. What's going on? and at some point, I'm going to, Skype call from my mom. It'll be, whatever. Okay. Moving back into what we're actually supposed to talk about. So transparency. Everybody knows what's going on. This is kind of important. Everybody, not just the QA team, not just developers, managers too, everybody knows what's going on. Another thing is traceability. This is sort of like getting things out of your head and making sure that you're going to use Team Foundation Server for this stuff. You're going to have a known test plan, and you're going to have a way to track whether those test plans have actually been run. Right? And then finally, team communication. You're going to communicate about the same artifacts. You're going to have one source of truth, Team Foundation Server. All your information goes in there. Everyone communicates about that stuff. All right? And actually, while I'm thinking about team communication, I was doing a Scrum training engagement for a gigantic disability insurance company. And I was sitting down with the chief technology officer, and she was really interested in one particular thing. She's like, okay, well, how do we model in TFS that stuff is ready to be tested and so that the testers can pick it up and go? I'm like, well, why are you so worried about that? There's a really simple solution. She's like, oh, what's that simple solution? Well, the developers say to the QA people, hey, this is ready for test. Could you go test it? She's like, oh. Blew her mind. So you have to remember to talk to one another. You're gonna have Team Foundation Server there to help you out. It's gonna be your system of record, but don't forget to talk to one another. It works so much better when you actually talk to one another. You've probably actually heard, what is it? 99% of the time it's not a technical problem, it's a people problem, masquerading as a technical problem. This, keep that in mind. Don't lean on TFS and MTM, as great as it is, don't lean on it to solve all your communication problems. Lean on it to streamline your communication problems. All right, so your goal is to release the code and know that it's been tested and how it's been tested. All right, now another thing from Scrum land, when I'm teaching Scrum, people say, well, what do testers do with the front side of a sprint? There's nothing for them to test yet. And it's like, okay, well, that sounds kind of interesting as an idea, but kind of misses the point. So one thing is that, well, testers could be developing their test plans, right? So they write down how they're going to intend to test this thing, and they're going to do that in collaboration with the developers that are building this. So they collaborate so that everyone knows what the test plan is actually going to be. And then one of the side benefits of that is when the developers are ready to check in their code and say something is ready to be tested, what could they do if they have a known test QA plan? Run it themselves, which is a fantastic way to boost your overall quality. So if you've got a known test plan, have the developers run it against their own code before they check it in, and then you as a QA tester can come back later on and verify that it actually meets that. So you become more of a backstop for quality as opposed to the thing that makes the minimum level of quality happen. And remind your developers, your role is not to tell them that their stuff is broken. They should be giving you good stuff in the first place. But anyway, I'm going to step off that particular soapbox. Can you tell that I love testers and I'm really in love with the QA testing part of software release? I think we get beaten down on an awful lot. So, moving on. Here's how you're going to do this with Microsoft Test Manager and Team Foundation Server. So, the plan. When you get new functionality, that's going to come to you probably as a product backlog item or a user story, depending on what your process template is. You're going to create a test suite, and you're going to create test cases for that test suite. And these test cases describe all the steps that you're going to perform as a tester to verify that particular piece of functionality. That's going to go in Team Foundation Server, which means that it's readable by everybody. They can come in and look at it just as well as you can. It's in TFS, so everyone can collaborate on that stuff, so they can look at it and say, nah, I don't think that's exactly how it's supposed to work. What if it works like this? And you're going to encourage your developers to look at it so that it's a known test plan, so that it's not a mystery how you're going to test this thing, so that they build it, you know, going off in this direction, and you're intending it to test in a different direction, and now you don't meet. You want it to align. You want to be on the same team. When you're ready for testing, you're going to use TFS's web-based test tools or Microsoft Test Manager to run that plan, and you're going to go through the application, click, 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 do that thing, mark it passing or not passing, and then you're going to use either of those tools to create bugs that go into TFS. And those bugs are going to give you the detail of what broke. While you're testing, you're going to be using TFS to track that effort. So a lot of times you've got a whole lot of test cases that have to run and only so many people in your testing team that can do it. Well, you can assign test cases to individuals and say, okay, you go run these tests, I'll run these tests, and you go run these tests, and we'll go and hit all that stuff. And then another thing in there, and I'll do demos of this in a bit. If you've got those user acceptance tests, right? Like there's some list of things that the stakeholders are probably going to do to before they sign off on, does this work or not? Well, there's this great new set of functionality in the web version of Team Foundation Server called the Test Hub, and that's got a lightweight test runner in it. So for those user acceptance tests, one of the things you could do is just assign those test cases to your stakeholders. And then you can track using TFS, did they ever even look at this thing? When they ran it, did it pass or did it fail? This starts to get your stakeholders involved in the process, right? So one of the big problems is building exactly the, what is it? Delivering exactly the wrong piece of software on time and on budget. You ever done that before? That's no fun. So by bringing stakeholders into the process, they get a look at stuff early, and you find out if you're going off the rails early so that you're not delivering the exactly wrong piece of software on time and on budget. Additionally, if you have testers or stakeholders that don't really want to go in, they can't be bothered going into a web client to look at those test cases, you have the ability to export them, print them out, and you can hand them paper or PDF, whatever you want to do, and they can look at your test cases that way and sign off on it. This is actually a really good way, especially in medical or financial applications that are regulated, having somebody take these test cases and sign off and say, yep, this is actually okay. I'm approving this test case. So that's another piece of functionality in the tool. So once you've gotten to that part, you can start automating stuff. So automation is going to help you eliminate some of the tedium. Because, you know, as a tester, you're oftentimes going to do the same thing many times. And it's a pain, right? So if you're testing with Microsoft Test Manager, you can use something called Action Recordings, which is lightweight automation. Or there's another kind of automation called Coded UI Test that you can associate with your test plans. Heavyweight automation that does a lot of validation for you. And the nice thing is you can run those automatically in a virtual environment after a build runs. So you can start to automate more of your testing. All right, so let's do some demos. Let's hop in and let's create some test plans via the web, and we're going to associate those test plans to requirements. And where's my VM? Man, I forgot the shortcut for Control-Alt-Delete. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to come in, open up a browser, and go to our Team Foundation Server machine. So the URL is going to be demo TFS 2013. Actually, I probably need to have Zoomit running on that. And it's not going to work. All right. But anyway, it is the name of your TFS instance, port 8080, /TFS will bring you into this screen right here. And then up at the top, we've got this node right here that says test. Can you see that or is that too small? Raise your hand if you can't see it. Some people. Okay, let me fix that somehow. Yeah, okay, Zoom the browser, good idea. It's a VM and I didn't install Zoomit on that, which is the best utility of all time. Up here. Thank you. How's that, better? All right, thank you. Whoever said Sprocket Zoomit on the right, cool. All right, so we've got this test node right here. We'll click test. And, well, we've already got a test plan that's in here, but let's go and let's create a new one from scratch. So the tool really likes you to associate your test plans along with an iteration or a sprint. So I'm going to do that right now. So I'm going to say sprint to test plan. And it's intelligently already picked sprint 2 for me. I'm going to click create, and then I get my empty test plan. Now, in here we can do a couple different kinds of what are known as test suites. So there's static suite, requirements-based suite, and query-based suite. I'm going to do requirements-based, which is going to let me create test cases and group them by a requirement or a PBI that's in my project. So I'm going to run my work item query. And let's see. Let's come in here. And let's do, I'll select a bunch of them. Click Create Suites. And now it creates a bunch of these suites for me that all have the name of the requirement in that left-hand column. And at this point, I can go ahead and start creating some test cases. We'll come in and, on the right, we're going to say new, and then new test case. So let's, what are we working on right now? This is, calculator should do add, I believe. That is a PBI work item. So a product backlog item is a type of work item. It's just a different, like your bug would be a work item, task, PBI. All right, so add two numbers in the calculator. And let's come down below. And down here, we've got steps. So step number one is open the app. Expected result, the app should be open. Let's see, go to calculator. Type, I'm going to do at value 1 in here, in value 1 box. And I'll show you what that does in a second. Type at value 2 in value 2 box. Click calculate. Verify result. Result should be @result. All right. So now if I scroll down just a little bit more, we've got this little grid down below that I have value 1, value 2, value 1, value 2, and result that are in here. And this lets me put in grid values that I can use in my test. So value 1, let's say that's going to be a 2. This is going to be 3. And since it's addition, the result is going to be 5. Next row, we'll do 12, 12, and this should be 24. So now what we can do is we are using, come back over here. We're using these at and then a variable name to define things that we will plug values in at runtime in our test. So that's creating a simple test case. Let's hit save and close. And now we see under our calculator should do addition, we've got our test case right here. All right? Any questions about what I did here? Cool. Let me move over so I can actually see the clock. And let's hop back into some slides. All right, so some relevant nouns in that demo I just did. One is a test plan. So the test plan is the container for your testing efforts, usually for that sprint or that iteration. So everything that you're going to do in that iteration, testing-wise, is going to show up in that test plan. Then you're going to have test suites, static suite, requirement-based suite, and query-based suite. And these are the containers for the actual test cases. And the test cases are the detailed instructions along with the expected outcomes that you're going to do in your testing. So each of these test cases is going to represent a distinct path through your application. All right. Actually, let me talk about these different suite types for a second. So requirements-based suite is going to be related back up to a particular requirement. Query-based suite is based on a work item query. So you have a work item query which lets you select particular things out of your work item database and Team Foundation server, and you can hang test cases off of that. Or you've got static suite. Static suite, I usually would do that for something like regressions, where I have a set of test cases that I know I'm going to want to run, and I don't really care what context they're in as far as requirements. I just want to know that this works. So I might throw that into a requirements-based suite, and that all lives inside my plan. So in a commonly in a test plan, you're going to have a mix of all three different types of test suites in there, and under that, a whole bunch of different test cases that you're going to run. All right. So let's create a test plan with parameters. Actually, I already did that one. And then I'm going to show you some other features in the web interface that's going to let you do some, well, cool stuff that's going to save you a lot of clicking. And then I'll open that test plan up in MTM and show you how that goes. Actually, any questions while I try to do something like fix? No question? Okay, go ahead. Can you take those regression tests that are in the static suite and use them sprint after sprint? What you're going to do is you're going to clone them. So you'll clone them between iterations. And that'd be how I'd tackle that one. Why clone as opposed to moving it? So let's assume that you're going to do this like similar amounts of regression tests in sprint 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And let's say that you're doing month-long sprints, so that's 5 months worth of time. You may want to go back in time and say, all right, what did my regression suite look like when it was in sprint 1 versus in sprint 5? Because you probably added stuff, you probably removed stuff. You probably might have even changed the details of the test cases in the regression suite. And if you do a clone, a copy between them so that you copy the old one into the new sprint, and you keep doing like that, then you always have a point in time reference you can go back to, as opposed to if you just moved it, you're always modifying it, so it's more challenging to establish what the state was when you started. Yeah? Are the tests themselves put into TFS's source code? The test plan? The test plan goes in, it's actually a work item type, under the surface. So it goes into a different part of TFS. It doesn't go into version control, it goes into the work item repository. But it's all in there, it's all backed up with the same stuff. Any other question? All right, hang on 1 second. I'm just going to copy, zoom it into my machine. No other questions? I hate dead silence when I'm doing these things. These moments when I'm repairing something. All right, it's not going to do it because there are people watching. You ever notice that? That when you're actually going and doing a presentation in front of people, you do something that when you're sitting by yourself at your computer, it goes in an instant. And the moment you've got let's say 100 people staring at you while you're on stage, then nothing works anymore. It's like, thank you very much, that's great. All right, why is that not going? Find it. So this is the fun of trying to make things work on a completely virtual environment. Networking is sometimes trickier than it appears. Yeah, moving on. All right. I'll try this some more later. All right, so in that last demo, we created a test case that had parameters inside of it. And you don't have to use parameters at all. So these parameters are the at value 1, at value 2, at result that I created. You can use them or not use them. In this case, it's just kind of nice because, well, now I have a set of these parameters that I can do. Now, one of the things that is really nice is you might want to reuse this test data again and again and again. In this case, you're probably not going to reuse this data, but maybe you want to test an application with a couple different logons. So you log on as one user. Here's the username and password for this one, username and password for the next one. next one, next one, next one. So you have this set of username and passwords you want to share and use again and again. So one of the things you can do is take this set of parameters and say convert to shared parameters. And let's call this addition data. Click create. And now this is a shared parameter set that you can use on other test cases as you go. Kind of saves you some typing, saves duplication. Really nice feature. All right. I'll save and close. Let's create a new test case. Let's come in here. And I'm going to use what's known as the grid entry. So grid entry is a new feature. So we'll come in here and we'll say new test case using grid. And we've got title and step action. And let's move this over. And then step expected result. So let's say do addition. Let's see. Yeah, thank you very much. I have a degree in music performance. I don't do math. Even simple arithmetic goes on my phone. Test subtraction of two values. So step action one, let's come in here. It's like go to app. And next, go to calculator. Enter two. Enter one. Let's do this. Value one. In value two, click subtract, verify result, result should be one, and then exit the app. And at this point, if I wanted to, I could start creating another test case. I just, you know, provide a new title on the next row down, type some more stuff in. It's pretty handy. Click save. And now I've just quickly gone and created my new test plan. Come back over here, and it's in there. Saves you some nice typing. Okay? Does that look like something you might want to actually use? Yeah, that's pretty fantastic. So there's another thing that, well, I didn't realize this until I was prepping this talk. This is what I would call a hidden feature. So one of the things you can do, this is not a hidden feature. Let's come in here and let's create a simple test case, just an empty one. And let's say perform a buy trade. So this is in a stock trading system. I'll click save, close out of this. And now if I right click this thing, one of the options I have, and you'll see this a lot more in this web interface, is not run test using client. I'm going to go to my test plan, and I want to open my test plan up in Microsoft Test Manager, aka client. So right-click on the test plan, open using client. It's now going to bounce me into Microsoft Test Manager. How many of you use MTM right now? Okay. The rest of you need to get on this. It's great. This stuff is fantastic. You'll be secret heroes in your organization if you start using this. All right, so I went, created a open this up from the web, takes me right back into where I was before, and I've got create a buy trade in here, and if I open this up, I can see the details of it, which right now is no details. So a lot of people do their test planning inside of Excel. Sound familiar? So what I can do is I can come into my Excel spreadsheet, select the rows that I want, not enter a product key, come in here, right-click and say paste, and it didn't do it. Why didn't it do it? Try again. I demoed this in my hotel room right before I left. Why is this not going? Oh, Oh, thank you very much. All right, the answer was I was sitting in the cell instead of not in the cell. So I took that, pasted that in, and now I hit save and close. I've now populated my test case right from MTM using Excel. So just cut and paste that thing. Question in the back. Well, actually, thank you very much for that. One of the things you can do is there's something called shared test steps, and you can extract that into its own shared test step. So that it, rather than typing, let's say that starting the application is actually five steps long, and you don't want to put those same five steps in again and again and again. Create shared steps, plug in the shared steps, and you've saved a bunch of typing. There's another question somewhere in the back. Nope. All right, cool. All right. So let's actually try running some tests. So let's come back in here, and let's do the calculator should do addition. So we're back in the web client. We'll say run test. And what it does is it brings up a little lightweight test runner that has our test plan in the left panel, and we can go off and run this thing. So let's go open the app. We'll come over here, demo web. So I've got my application in the right-hand panel. So open the app. Yep, that passed. Go to calculator. Yep, that passed. Type in value 1, which is going to be 2. That passed. Value 3, click calculate. That worked. Verify the result is 5. We're good. Okay. So since we have a couple different rows in our data set, now we can say, all right, let's go to the next one. Next iteration, it's got different values in it, 12 and 12 and 24. So let's go and repeat our process again. Open the app. Yep. Go to calculator, yep. And then let's say that this bombs out for some reason. So we'll say that didn't work. Say give me an error, and then if we want to, we can go in, create a bug. Addition of numbers with 12 in them does not work. And we come down below in our steps to reproduce. We've got all the steps that we did, and then we've got the step that failed right here. So we'll say save and close. Let's exit that. And let's come back over to our test suite. In our test suite, we see that we've got a failed test right there. So it's showing us the status. We can imagine you've got a whole lot of these tests in here. It's really nice to be able to eyeball this and see what's passing, what's not passing. But let's hop back down into MTM. So let's go back and open using client again. And now let's go to test and look at analyze test runs. Change this to manual runs. And we see that we've got, all right, we can see the detail on this stuff. There's a test case that didn't work. What test was it? We can drill into all that stuff. What's nice about this is that we have full fidelity between MTM and the web. So you can use the tool that you want to do. Don't feel like installing MTM on your machine to do testing? Use the web client. Want to use the full MTM test to do that? Go for it. They can read back and forth what they're doing. It makes for a really nice experience. Let's exit out of this. And any questions about what I did here? Question in the back. Yep. Can you create an action recording through the web interface? Is that the question? What do you think? I'm going to go with no. The answer is no. I'll talk about action recordings in a little bit, but that's the lightweight automation. For that, you're going to want to use the full MTM client for that. But that actually has gotten substantially easier with the latest release for how you access that stuff. Any other questions? All right. All right, so there are two different ways to run the tests, via the web, as we saw, and we also do it via Test Manager, MTM. And, well, I guess that was a short number of slides right there. That was pointless. Let's go back and, well, we already ran some tests via the web. I already did this demo. Done, moving on. So testing via the web is fantastic because it's lightweight. You don't have to install a lot of stuff. It's also, because it runs in a browser, it's basically cross-platform, right? So let's say that you want to do testing of an app on Mac or on Linux. You just open up in TFS, go to the website, open up the test runner. You have the test plan right there. Test your app inside your Mac. Cross-platform. You don't have to worry about the fact that, well, MTM doesn't install on Mac. You've got good, streamlined testing tools that are cross-platform via the web with no installation required. Really nice. Now, getting to what your question was a second ago about automations, testing using Microsoft Test Manager gives you full-featured testing. So it's the rich client. This is the granddaddy of testing tools in the Microsoft world. It's got the ability to do things like, well, recording video while you're going, capturing a whole lot of diagnostic data as you go. Lots of different stuff in here. It has exploratory testing built into it. So exploratory testing is where you go through and you just sort of bang on your application trying to find a bug. And, well, a lot of times when you do find that bug, you want to turn what you did in that test, that exploration, into a test case. Well, MTM will do that for you, too. It records what you're doing so that when you say, okay, turn this into a test case, it just does it for you. To what the guy in the back was asking about, it's got lightweight automation using something called action recordings. So action recordings will record what you're doing as you're testing so that you can record your mouse movements and your keyboard movements so you can play them back later on when you want to do this test again. Now, that doesn't do any validation for you. It only saves you typing. So if you want to do actual validation, you can associate coded UI tests with your test cases, and coded UI tests can do the full automation of clicks and typing, gestures if you're doing Windows 8 applications, and then it will do actual validation of what's on the screen, so you can do your entire test case without any human involvement whatsoever. So on those action recordings, you still have to look at what happened after the playback happened. Coded UI tests can potentially do the whole thing for you. Anyone using coded UI tests right now? Okay, cool. Another benefit of testing with MTM is you get, well, while we had a fairly rich bug from the web client, this gives us really, really detailed information. So potentially capturing things like IntelliTrace, things like what got written into the event log. All that stuff can get captured and attached to the bug. And if you're going full fancy, you can attach Microsoft Test Manager to Hyper-V and System Center Virtual Machine Manager to test against a virtual environment. Now, let's say you're testing as a QA tester against a virtual environment. You know it's a virtual environment. You found a bug. What you can do is you can say create bug and then attach a snapshot of that virtual environment directly to the bug, which is cool because when the developers pick up that bug 2 or 3 days later, they can come into the bug, double-click on the snapshot of that virtual machine. It spins up the virtual environment basically 1 second after you left your testing activities. So you start getting into really being able to get rid of that no repro problem, because this is one of the things we all hate as developers and as testers. It's like, okay, tester found a bug. Developer gets it and says, nope, I can't reproduce this. bug's closed, no problems, hooray, high five us. What are the chances that that bug is actually fixed? Zero. What's the chance that it still exists? 100%. So rich bugs through MTM really helps you to knock out that works on my box, no repro problem. Okay? Moving on. All right, so actually at the bottom of this, we've got test settings. Test settings allow you to do, allow you to configure what the diagnostics you're going to capture while you're doing your tests. So do you want to record audio and video of yourself swearing into this application as it doesn't work? Yes, checkbox. Do you want to capture everything that went into the event log? Yep, I want that. Do you want to capture a snapshot of what the system configuration was? Yep, I want that. A bunch of different things that are available to you, and now just automatically when you run your test, MTM is going to capture that for you. It's pretty slick. And it looks something like this. And a bunch of different things in here, and I'll get into this in a second with a real demo. All right, so let's go in here and let's run our test using an action log and some video, and we'll create a bug, do all this stuff, and then I'll show you what we actually can do with MTM. So one of the new things that's great for getting to MTM from the web, a lot of teams that I work with like to spend most of their time actually in the web interface for doing their planning and when they're assigning things off to people. But then they like the full-featured tooling that comes with MTM when they actually run their test. So what you can do is you can come into that test, right-click it, and then you have this option here that says run test with client or run test using client. It will bring up MTM and take you directly into where that test case was, theoretically. There we go. Okay. So one of the things you see on the left-hand side is this says create action recording. And I apologize if you can't read that in the back. But what that gives us the option to do is to record what we're doing as we do our tests. So we'll say create action recording, we'll say start test, and let's come over to our app. So we open the app, mark that step as passing, go to calculator, mark that step as passing, and now we've got some interesting stuff right here. So remember we had that list of data, you know, the value 1, value 2, and the result? Well, what we can do here is we can click on the value that is in MTM, it puts it in the clipboard for us, and then it watches us to see where we paste that. And if you can see the little detail, it's very small. When I tabbed off that field, that test runner, the action recording, just said, okay, I see where that goes, got it. We're going to do that for the next step, so we'll pass that. Next one, do it for value 2. Paste in value 2, it catches that. Click calculate. Yep. That worked. Verify the result. That worked. All right. End iteration, move to the next test. Now we've got, it says a different thing here. Do I want to overwrite my existing action recording? No. So let's do start test. And now I want to play back some stuff. I don't want to do all that typing myself, so I'm going to highlight the first 5 steps and click play. Please work. Oh, it worked so well in my hotel room. Famous last words of a presenter. All right. Perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to have happen. Let's try that again. Oh, there was? Okay. Let's see what happens. You know what? I'm going to skip that first step, and I'm just going to go straight like that. there it goes, substantially more happy. Now it plugs in the 12:12 and the 24 value. I'm going to say all these steps passed. Pass, 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 and pass. And then I can end the iteration, save and close, and now I've just done that. Now, if I want to go back in there and do that again, it will just automatically use that action recording, just zip through my thing, saves me a bunch of typing. That's really nice as a tester, right? Because there's so much stuff that we do, it's just like, just grunting and dragging and dropping values into fields. This will help us do that. Will that switch iterations? Will it, so because I have the action recording, will it run through both iterations? No, it stops in one iteration. So because you have to manually look at it and say, did that work or not? Be kind of cool if it did, but the thing is you'd lose the data about whether it worked. This stuff requires that you actually have some human interaction to verify, yes, it worked. Oh. Is it working in a mobile emulator?
So at that time, it's just looking at what's there on the desktop. But it doesn't work on an actual phone.
Okay. So the answer from the team is yes. If you've got the emulator on your desktop, it does. So it works with, I've done it with Windows applications, so Windows Form, WPF applications, and websites. And then you can, yeah, it, so a lot of different things, it works great. So the question is, if I wanted to run this a bunch of times, is there a way to convert my action recording into a coded UI test? The answer is yes. So you create a coded UI test project, and then you have the option when you create a new test method to say, from existing action recording, and it will pick that up. And actually, if we have time, I'll try to show you that a little bit later. All right, let's see, what else did I want to do in this demo? Oh, video recordings. So let's come back over here to the plan tab and go to properties. And then on the left, we've got this manual settings, and in here it has test settings, and one of the test settings you get by default is local test run. I'm going to click open. So this is where you get to describe the options about what you're going to do inside your test. So roles, well, we're going to run this all locally, so the roles don't matter. I'll talk about roles a little bit later on. Then we've got our data and diagnostics, and one of the options down here is screen and voice recorder. I'm going to check that, hit next, click finish, save and close, and let's go do that one more time. Let's go run that same test. So we'll go to the test tab, add two numbers, we'll say run, start the test. Highlight the steps. Run through that. And let's say that this dies. This does not work. So we'll mark that as a fail. That didn't work at all. Let's create a screenshot on this one. So we'll say capture rectangular screenshot. We now have a screenshot attached to this thing. And let's say create bug. Collects a bunch of information. Said calculator didn't work. Click save and close. And then we'll close the test. Now, let's go back over to TFS. And let's go look at the bugs that we've got. So somewhere in here, we should have calculator didn't work. And if I come down here, we'll have attachments. Or actually, no, it's right here in steps to reproduce. Make this a little bit bigger. And we've got a link to video in here. So let's click the video. Oh, this does not really work very well when it's at zoom. I'm going to temporarily move this back to regular zoom and reopen this guy. Oh, okay. So the question is, if you're mid-test and you figure out that not only do I have a bug, but also the test case is wrong, or is it the requirement is wrong? Or both? Requirement or bug? Could be both. Let's say it's both. Pause the test, go modify that case, go off into the PBI, open the PBI, edit that, and then submit your bug. You're fine. Is that basically what you're asking? Oh, directly? I'll show you that in just a second. Okay. So here, well, not directly out of the test runner. You'd want to do that. You need to open up the test case, and that'll have a link back, and you just sort of follow the links. But anyway, so back to my video recording. I've got my attachment in my bug, and if I open that video, it goes and we see the video of exactly what we did as we go, which is really handy, right? Especially since developers, when you give them a bug, they're like, no, it didn't. You just must have done it wrong. What did you do? Well, this way you can go, here's what I did, and you just drop a video on their desk, and they can see exactly what you did, as opposed to you having to explain to them in excruciating detail, here's all the things that went wrong. Question? Not through action recordings. But I'll show you another thing in just a second about how you can actually make that happen, actual validation happen. All right, any questions on this before I move on? So the question is, how do you track environments? Environments meaning like dev, QA, stage, prod, right? Is that the question? Raise your hand. I can't see who I'm talking to. There you go. All right, thanks. It's just like this disembodied voice in the back of the room. There's not... that's a tough one. Yeah, well, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to blame you, because it's easy to do that. I think that you actually kind of identified what the real problem is. The problem is not so much that the test is being run against the wrong environment, it's that the developers are able to mistakenly push their code into a different environment. Now, that implies something else to me as well. Like, one of the things I'd probably want you to do would be to invest in automated build, so that you're doing automated builds that create this package that you deploy into various environments. Makes it a lot easier to track. I'm actually going to show you that in a few minutes. And then in MTM, what you will do, let's see, where am I? One of the things you can do is you can say, what build am I actually testing? And you'll come into it, and then when you all the bugs you create are going to be recorded in the context of a build. So if it turns out that you were recording bugs against the wrong environment, and that's why, well, you'll catch that and see, okay, well, I tested the wrong build or the wrong environment build. Does that sound interesting, or does that sound like a bogus answer? Yeah, MTM and the TFS tools kind of assume that you've got a known place that you're testing against. And really that comes into, I'm just gonna hop ahead. So one of the other features in MTM is something called Lab Center. And this allows you to define environments, so test environments. So I think this exactly answers your question. So you're going to define environments here that are going to have the machines in them that you're going to expect to run your test on. And then in your test plan, you're going to say, all right, what environment am I running against? This one. And then you'll be able to just track it that way. So actually, I'm going to take back the last 4 minutes of teasing you and say I was wrong. This is probably what you want to look into. So let me state the question back for the recording. So basically, if you've got automated builds, you're going to have that pushing into dev, test, stage, prod, whatever. You might even have flavors of builds that are for compile and deploy to those environments. Wouldn't that make it easier to track? The answer is yes, because now if you're going against builds are really important, by the way. Automated builds are kind of the center of your universe for so many things in TFS land. It's a really good way to keep everybody honest. Because if the stuff doesn't work because of an automated build, like if the code doesn't compile, well, we know it doesn't compile. That's one thing it tells you. If the unit tests don't pass as part of an automated build, that's a check that, okay, well, if those tests pass on your box but don't pass on the build server, well, something's wrong. We now have to investigate why. If you start doing lab management builds with TFS that will actually deploy stuff off to environment machines like this, and then it still doesn't work, then you know that there's something wrong in that process. But you're going to get it down to a set of automated steps so that human interaction isn't required, because humans make mistakes. It's tedious. Well, like forget, oh, I forgot to change app config for this thing. You really want to make it so that through your build process, you've configured everything so you can just do a full deploy to whatever environment you want to without having to have manual human interaction. Does that sound interesting, or does that sound crazy talk? Raise your hand if that sounds absolutely insane. Raise your hand if you're not paying attention. Cool. One, you're not paying attention. Well done. All right. So in that last demo, went through, did the action log, action recording, created a bug, created a bug using a video recording, and then I showed you off that video recording. So basically, we're trying really hard to knock out that no repro problem and to prove to developers that, yes, I actually found that bug. Now, getting into what you guys are asking questions about, automated build, deploy, and test, well, this is where associating a coded UI test, so a coded UI test can not only automate the clicks and the typing, but it can actually verify values on the screen. Well, what you can do is you can hook those into test cases in MTM, and they're known as associated automations. And if you've got a lab environment set up and a lab management build, so a lab management build takes the compiled code and blows it out onto the servers in your environment. If you've done that, you have the option to run coded UI tests as part of your build, okay? So let me actually show you a case that I already did. So let's come back into my machine. Go back to Testing Center. We'll do analyze test runs. We'll say automated runs. Why is that not showing me anything? Because I'm in the wrong thing. Let's go back to my old sprint. So I'm going to go back to the test plan from my previous sprint, and this one has lab management hooked up to it. I've got a lab management build that will compile my code, configure my app configs, put the app on a web server, basically configure it so it's ready to run, ready for test, and then it's going to run a couple of associated automation tests with it. So if I come into, I've got an app that will do editing of persons, so list of people, first name, last name, email address, really simple stuff. But I've done some automations in here. So if I open up the test case and then click on associated automation, we see we've got the associated test name right here, and that actually points to a coded UI test that I ran. So if we come back over to test, say analyze test runs, we've got automated runs right here. So let's look at the result of what I did in my last lab management build. So I configured a lab management build to deploy and then run a bunch of tests. So if we look at the test that ran in there, we'll say add person record. And one of the things I did was to create a video recording just automatically. So when the automated tests run, it records a video of the automated test runner doing its work. It's kind of like magic. So we can go double click on. So even though it said that that test passed, do I trust it? Sometimes I want to look at what actually happened. So this is the video of the test agent automatically running my test. Looked pretty good. And that all ran through lab management. So let me walk you through how we actually got to that point. So we come into Lab Center in MTM, and I define an environment. So you come in here, you say click new, and it says, all right, what kind of environment do you want to create? You have two options. One is called standard environment. The other one is SCVMM environment. So SCVMM requires that you've associated System Center Virtual Machine Manager to Team Foundation Server and then hooked in a Hyper-V host or a number of Hyper-V hosts into that. I don't have that running all on this machine. That takes a lot of hardware. But it's cool, and it's really powerful. But if you don't have that, let's say that your test machines are physical boxes. Or let's say that you use, what is that other company? It's called VMware. I don't know. They're popular, I've heard. I don't know. I don't pay attention to them. JK. If you've got a competing virtualization stack, you can create environments without SCVMM, and those are called standard environments. So from the perspective of the tooling, from the TFS MTM tooling, those just look like physical boxes to your tests. Okay? So we'll create a standard environment, and we'll say machines, we'll add machines, and we'll come in and we'll say, all right, what's the machine? What's the machine name? What's the role that it's going to do? Is it a web client? Is it a web server, database server, yada, yada, yada? We'll go through there, come over to machine properties. What are the different things we want to say about those machines? Do we want to configure this environment to run coded UI tests? All these different options we have. I've created one of these already, and I've got a web client machine called Demo Test 2013, and a web server machine called Demo Web 2013, and this automatically is known to the build system so that if I want to go create a lab management build, which I've done already, and actually let me show you the lab management build I've created. Come into builds. Edit build definition. And I'll hop down to process. And in process, if you've chosen the lab template as your automated build template, so right here, it's grayed out at the moment, but it'll be populated in a second. It says lab default template 11.xaml. That's the lab template. So we have a couple different options. So usually you'd use default template if you're just doing a compile, but we're doing lab. And if you choose lab, you get this lab process settings. And if you bring this up, it gives you a wizard. So first thing it asks you in here is, what environment do you want to associate with this lab management build? I'm going to choose environment one. That's the one that I had created. And then it says, all right, what build do we want to deploy? So a lab management build is always made up of two pieces, a compile and a deploy. So what we're doing here is we're pointing it at a compilation build that's going to compile our code, run unit tests, basically get everything ready, get all the binaries ready. And then this is in this screen saying, okay, so when the lab management build runs, we're going to kick off one of those compile builds and then grab the outputs from that build. Next, what do we want to do? Do we want to deploy onto machines? Yep. I want to deploy onto the web server. And you give it a bunch of basically some script arguments that get passed down to the agent process that's running on that machine. And when this lab management when the lab management build says, go ahead and deploy this thing, it's going to pass these args down to that machine. That machine's now going to run a bunch of stuff. And in this case, what I'm doing under the surface is getting all the bits for my web application, deploying it into IIS, configuring IIS, configuring database connection strings, and getting that all ready to run. I'm also installing perfmon counters as part of this. So basically, I'm doing a bunch of setups so that it's just automatically there for me, ready to test. Next, it asks me, do I want to run tests in this environment? Yes, I do. And then what do I want to do? Okay, well, I want to run it off of the Sprint 1 test plan. And then which test cases do I want to run as part of that? Choose them all. And then that's pretty much it. And when I run that build, it looks just like any other build, but then down at the bottom, we've got our test results. And our test results are going to show us all those automated coded UI tests running that are validating my application. Any questions on that? In the back. How does this relate with release management? First off, I don't work for Microsoft. I think of release management as a little more for what you're going to do for your production deploy kind of stuff, and that this is really helping out the dev and test area. So this is very early in your process, but they are complementary. There's another question. Nope. Okay. All right, so how would we actually do that association? Let me open up a project that's got coded UI tests in it. Does that reconfigure the test machine? I'm not sure I understand. Yep. Yep. Right. So what it does is it runs the lab management build, kicks off. It compiles the bits, gets the bits, deploys it onto the environment, and then when the deployment is finished, it then will run the test suite. And I've actually, in one of the configurations I did, I said use a different machine as my web client so that I'm testing not all in the same box, but I'm my web client testing my web server. And it runs, so all the tests execute from the client machine. Yeah.
Is there a place to put pre-test processing?
Yeah. Is there a place to put pre-processing? Here, let me show you the script that I've got. So basically what you end up doing, here, let me zoom that up a little bit. You just run something close to a batch file, and anything you want to do, it passes a bunch of args down to you about what the environment looks like. Whatever you want to do, do it all through that. So I could imagine using SQL package exe to take my DAC pack and deploy it off to my database server, all out of this. It's pretty slick. Yep. Yeah. The release management stuff is really cool, too. All right. So let me just show you quickly how you would associate an automation to a test case. Let's come into Team Explorer. You have to do this from Visual Studio. So I found this really confusing. I would think that I could go into Microsoft Test Manager, click a button, but the buttons are all grayed out to do this. You have to do it out of Visual Studio. So let's come in and let's open up our work items. We'll say test cases. And let's see. Add two numbers together in calculator. Go to the Associated Automation tab. And since I have my solution open, my solution has my coded UI tests in it, and when I open up this test case, it's going to show me all the tests that are inside of my solution. And let's come in here and I'm just going to pick one at random. So imagine that I pick that. If I ran that, now I have an associated automation that I can go and run that test. Okay? So it's pretty slick for being able to associate all that stuff. All right, so let me wrap up. So showed you how to associate a coded UI test to test case, ran that from a lab management build, gave you a little tour of lab management. And then finally, let's just ask that question. How do you know that you've tested your application? Well, it's going to be a layered defense. You're going to go through and do we have a known test plan? Yep. Do we have proof we executed it? Yep, because TFS recorded that it happened, who did it, the results of that test running. If we want to, we can add automated tests to make that faster and less tedious. And then we've got nice tooling for tracking the bugs and the defects of what actually happened. So you got a lot of different things. Use all these tools together so that you can release with confidence. Any last questions? Cool. Thank you very much for coming. I'll be posting my slides on my blog.